Hello, everybody, and welcome back to OMB Reviews. I am the critic who is a cynic. How is everyone doing this evening? Welcome to the Welcome to Asgard podcast, episode 356, where tonight we'll talk a little bit about the Tolkien Society continuing attack on reason and logic when it comes to the life, legacy, and history of J.R.R. Tolkien. They have, of course, always, since their existence, it seems, or at the very least over the last few years more so, especially, decided to try and reclaim or rewrite the history behind Tolkien and his characters, and in many ways claiming and insinuating that they somehow know more about Middle-earth, they know more about his characters, they know more about his mindset than even the man himself, somehow. And so we'll talk about an article from our friends over at Bounding Into Comics talking about this, about how apparently there is a new paper that is going to be featured at an upcoming event at Oxenmoot in 2022 titled J.R.R. Tolkien Culture Warrior, the Alt-Right Religious Crusades Appropriation of Tolkien. That's right. Oh my goodness. The hypocrisy, the irony in the title of that article alone is just, it's phenomenal. So we'll talk about that. We'll also, of course, have our general movie talk discussion, a little bit of the box office. Lightyear, of course, continuing to not do much of anything. Jurassic World Dominion up to $831 million worldwide. Minions already at $216 million worldwide. And of course, Top Gun Maverick continuing to rock the box office with over $1.1 billion. And so all of these stories and more tonight. So if you have any comments or questions throughout the stream, you know what to do. Put at Odin at the very beginning of your comment. At Odin, it lets me know you're trying to get my attention. And if you are a member on the YouTube channel, you do not have to worry about doing that. But we'll go ahead and say hello to some people in the chat. But first things first, I need to get this little doc set up here in my OBS. That way I can see if anyone posts any comments over on the Odyssey channel, because we are live on YouTube, on Odyssey, on Twitter, on DLive as well. All right, now that that has been set up properly, we'll head now into the chat. We got Orange Chat Reviews. Hails you, good sir, saying, cannot wait to hear what the Tolkien Society has been up to, probably as brain dead as an inbred orc. Well, yes, that pretty much goes without saying. And I'd be amazed if between all of the members of the Tolkien Society, if they could actually cobble up one single brain with all of the cells that they would have combined. Bruce, showing those good vibes. Hail to you, good sir. Thank you for being here. Kili Chow, hail to you. Thank you very much for being here. Miss Minnesota Hockey Fan, how about a hockey player? Thanks for being a member on the channel. Hail to you. Thank you very much for joining again. We got Tina B in the chat. Hail to you. Again, smash that like button, please. Slap that fire button on Odyssey. We got Laura, the Modern Major General of the channel. Shorty Short, how's it going, Laura? GMonkey76, hail to you. Tina, sorry to hear about you having the keyboard issues. The only thing I could think of would be to reach out to, I guess, Google, or I forget the name of the manufacturer that made that specific Chromebook, because that shouldn't be happening. It's not nearly anywhere close to being old enough for those kinds of issues to be happening at this point. That's pretty ridiculous. Alrighty. We got Alice McCarthy in the chat. Hail to you, good sir. Howdy, Odin. How's it going since this morning? Hey, no real change at all. Was able to get some things done around the house, which was nice. Was able to get all of the giveaway items. So for those that are in that Keeper of the Bifrost giveaways channel, I have all of those in the mail. All of those are now in the mail, and they were picked up today. So hopefully within the next week or so, you will get them. And then I started to get some things organized for the rosaries that I'm going to be starting to ship out as well. But I'm glad to hear that you are doing very, very well in your recovery, good sir. And I stand by the statement before. Please make sure that you get some good high quality photos going on, man, rather than the photo of the video that looks like it was taken from back in 2007. Mr. Roy, hail to you. Thanks for being here. Fear of FEMA, hail to you. Thank you very much for being here. We got Gus in the chat. Thank you very much for tagging. Tina will be back. She's dealing with some tech issues on her end. General Wingster, hail to you, good sir. He is a member on the channel now, thanks to Low Water Mark. Says, I got my food. Oh, let's do this. Hey, glad to hear that you got your food ready for a good time. Again, Mr. Roy, hope you're doing well at work. Let's see. Kirzilla, what's going on? Hail to you. Glad to have you in the chat. Saw you were coming in. Saw your comment this morning on the Good Morning Asgard podcast. So sad that you missed that stream. But hey, it's always at the same time, unless I let y'all know on the socials that it's not. So don't do it again. Jacob Ironside, what's going on, good sir? Thanks for being here. Keck44 in the chat as well. General Wingster, who's a member, says, Odin's obvious that the relationship between Legolas and Gimli is about non-binary trans people. Of course. Of course. Why would it not? Why would it not? We also got Low Watermark in the chat, the legend who gifted subs to not only members here on OMB Reviews, but also on Friday Night Tights. That was a lot of fun to watch happen in real time. John Phillips, what's going on? We got Star Cabal in the chat too. What is up? How is it going? Appreciate you being here. Let's see. Tina B says, sorry folks, I'm gone. My keyboards aren't working and the laptop keeps kicking me off of YouTube. And yet I keep on being able to read your messages. What's going on? Is it working or is it not working? It's all good. Visit channel Kenny Lee. What's up? Thanks for the tag. Say hello, Odin. How has the summer gone? Summer's gone pretty well. Haven't done as much reading as I would have liked, but I've also been able to now up to the last episode in season 4 of DS9. So doing very well. Was able to make several rosaries today. I'm still waiting on some supplies to come in for the crucifixes and the medals. Those should be in on Thursday. And so then I'll be able to finish up some of those and hopefully start shipping those out this week. Let's see, we got Nathan Slay in the chat. Hail to you, saying hello again, Alden. Not much else has happened for me today either. Glad you got stuff done. Yeah, it's always good to have to be a little bit productive. Tina says, the laptop is kicking me off YouTube. I'm on my phone, and that's not going to hack it. I'll try to get back. So, Tina, I would ask two things, because I know that you have a Chromebook. One, are you using the YouTube app, and is that kicking you off, or are you on the Chrome browser and on YouTube.com? I would say if you haven't done one or the other, try whichever one you haven't done up to this point, because that might help to explain might be able to help. So again, there's obviously the YouTube app built into the Chrome OS software, but you can also go to YouTube directly using the browser. And sometimes that can help. At least that's what my own experience has been. Limited experience with Chromebooks, but it sometimes does work. Kirzilla says, I overslept. Hey, sleep is a beautiful thing, so definitely will not ever criticize anyone for that. By the way, Low Watermark, thank you for the $25 donation. Thank you very much for the donation via Streamlabs. Very much appreciate that. Says, hail Odin, keep up the good works. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate your donation. Really does mean a lot. Full Metal Cowboy, hail to you. Thanks for being in the chat. Tina B says, I'm tagging you off. Tagging me off. I don't know what that's supposed to mean, but... Orchard Reviews, who's a member, says, Movie Talk, have you ever seen The Bank Job with Jason Statham? It's about Baker Street bank robbery in the UK in the 1970s. Great movie, albeit some nudity and is slightly gratuitous. Yeah, I mean, I don't really know... that much about. I've heard of it. I may have seen it a while ago, like a long time ago, but I don't remember anything about it if I did. Snorter Poopus Cuber, what's going on? Thank you very much for being here. Tina, no problem at all. Take your time. No worries. Take your time. Steven, tagged to say, still can't believe Campia and those other shills won't acknowledge the main reason why Lightyear bombed. Doubt Disney will do Agenda again, probably in 2 or 3 years, we'll try again. Steven, you have a lot more high hopes for Disney if you think that they're not going to push Agenda. They already have. They have a show called Baymax on Disney Plus where they have pushed their Agenda. For the entire month of June, they had Pride Month on Disney Plus, pushing different shows, pushing different characters and ideas. So to say that they're going to do away with it or that they're done with it, I'm sorry, dude. You have way too many high hopes for this. No, it's not that they failed and they're going to try again in 2 or 3 years. It's they can write this off because of money they're getting from Disney Plus, and they can continue to try and perpetuate this. The only people that are actually going to hold them responsible, or the only people that can actually have brains enough to hold them responsible, are shareholders. So I once again throw out my voice to try and reach as many people as I possibly can. If you are a shareholder in Disney, you need to hold the board of directors accountable, and more specifically, the executives accountable, because no one else is going to do it. They're all in bed with each other. They're not going to hold each other accountable. You need to actually step up, because I don't know what else at this point can really wake them up to this fact. Because Disney's just going to say, oh yeah, maybe we lost money on this film, but hey, we're making some money with Disney Plus. Or they'll try to argue saying, yeah, well, you know what? Look at all the money we made from Doctor Strange 2, and hey, we're going to make some money from Thor Love and Thunder. The only time, the only way it's going to happen is if you have it from the inside, from internally. And the only people internally that I could possibly think of doing anything would be if they were somehow, some way able to get shareholders to say something about it. But yeah, this is not a, oh, they tried it and they're going to try it again. No, again, they're not stopping. they have not stopped at any point, and I doubt that they ever will. Rob D. Tad to say hello again. Picked up 4 Blu-rays of the Dollar Tree this weekend. Taking the film 1, 2, 3 from 74, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Solo, Star Wars Story, and Ratchet and Clank. Dang, son. I mean, don't get me wrong. I totally understand Star Wars, Solo, Star Wars Story, and Ant-Man and the Wasp being in the dollar bin, but dang. That's not a very common thing that you see. You don't see a lot of those Disney films, let alone the Disney Marvel films, in that bin. I only have one new film really to talk about that just came in today. I've got an extra copy that I'm going to use in the giveaways for the giveaways channel. I only have one of them though, and it's the 4K Steelbook for Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat. Wonderful film, very underrated film from Warner Brothers. And Warner Brothers does decent work with their Steelbooks. I do like how it's usually like a matte finish. I like the feeling of the matte finish on their Steelbooks. And so you've got, this is the imagery for Edge of Tomorrow. Again, great film, fantastic film. And then you also have artwork on the inside, which I always appreciate. But to me, I honestly think that the only company that has done anything right when it comes to their physical media releases, most especially their Blu-ray releases or their 4K releases, their 4K Steelbooks, is Lionsgate. Lionsgate just knows what to do. Just the plastic slipcover alone already makes it well worth it. Let's see, Curzilla member says, I only have Tuesday off. Normally, I catch the morning shows while working. Sleeping in used to mean getting up at noon. I was up at 8 a.m. Dang, son. Dang, dang, dang. Scott McKenzie, what's going on? He is a member on the channel. He says here, ROP, not the same universe, despite using familiar names and places. It's a different place, different rules from ones established in the book ROP, not recognized as a Lord of the Rings adaptation or prequel. Rings of Power, I think, is what you meant by that. Well, here's the problem, is that they're calling it Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power. I don't know if you're saying that that's how you're writing. I don't know if that's what you're trying to say is in your head canon, because the fact is they're using characters that are from the works of Tolkien. They are clearly, you know, changing it in this capacity. So if our headcanon says that, I think that that's where a lot of us are going to go, just to say, yeah, this really isn't the world at all. If anything, the only way that this can work is if it's an alternate universe or an alternate timeline or whatever it might be. But I doubt that that's how they are actually trying to, you know, fix it. Or I doubt that that's how they're going to spin it. They're going to use the Lord of the Rings name as much as they possibly can, period. Let's see. Steven says, your thoughts on Thor Love and Thunder, mixed reviews so far, mostly bad than good. Many complaints on too many humor that distracts plot in serious moments. Well, I don't know where you're hearing more bad than good, because again, if we're talking about trustworthy people like, for me, Jeremy Johns is still a very trustworthy YouTube movie reviewer. He gave it, it's a good time if you are drunk, and he brought up that same complaint. If you look to the critics though, the so-called professional critics, it's mostly positive. I looked at the Metacritics earlier in the morning stream. It was, when I checked then, about 25 positive reviews, about 5 mixed reviews, and then maybe only 1 negative review. So I don't know where you're hearing that from, unless you're talking about within the community or within the fellowship or anything to that extent. Let's see. Tina tagged to say, all right, I'm on the YouTube website and the keyboard seems to be working, but YouTube glitches occasionally. Hoping this works. Let's start from the top. We'll have to wait and see. Sorry you're having these technological issues. I don't know how to help from here. Let's see. Soul Sass and Tatis AM is on Lord of the Rings will go down as the most expensive fan series ever. Yeah, pretty much. I think that's where a lot of us are going to have to, you know, a lot of us are going to have to and likely will choose to put this series as either just not existing, or if it is existing, that it's just fan fan fiction. And I would even argue that it can't really be seen as fan fiction either. It really can't be seen as fan fiction either, because that would require them to actually be fans. Full Metal Cowboy, what's going on? Thanks for being here. Scott McKenzie, who's a member, says, Amazon has honestly used someone else's work just to get access to a built-in audience with no intention of even trying to create legitimate and recognizable adaptation. Totally agree. Again, so I think that we can call them out. However, they're not going to view it that way. They're not going to push it that way instead. But instead of talking about Amazon specifically, I'm sure we'll have a plethora of time and topics to mention when discussing the Rings of Power show and all the stuff leading up to it. But today we're talking about the Tolkien Society. So this is based off of an article that we have from our friends over at Bounding Into Comics. This is actually written by John F. Trent, friend of the channel. And as it says right here, Tolkien Society to feature paper titled J.R.R. Tolkien Culture Warrior, the Alt-Right Religious Crusades Appropriation of Tolkien. I just do also find it fascinating. I know that they're not specifically in this title calling him alt-right, but I do think it's interesting to associate him with alt-right when that was not anywhere close to being a concept when he was alive. But I digress. Hot off their summer seminar 2021, where they put the focus on Tolkien and diversity. Ah, yes, I remember that. The Tolkien Society will now feature a paper at their upcoming Oxenmoot event, claiming there is an alt-right religious crusade to appropriate J.R.R. Tolkien. Interesting. An alt-right religious crusade. That's a very interesting bit of language there. I wouldn't be surprised if you actually looked into it to find out that Tolkien probably would have been in support of said so-called crusade. But I digress. If you are unfamiliar with Oxenmoot, the Tolkien Society describes it as an annual event hosted by the Tolkien Society, which brings together Tolkien fans, scholars, students, and society members from across the world. I think that's a bit laughable when you host things last year like Tolkien and, was it, Tolkien and diversity? I mean, again, if we're going to talk about his diversity of species, because he had a brilliant mind and was able to build a world from scratch, build languages, and also be able to create so many different characters and so many different races in their entire backgrounds. Yeah, we can talk about that, but Lord knows when they say Tolkien and diversity, they're talking about modern day diversity, which doesn't make any sense because it's a fantasy realm. Oh, goodness me. Oxenmoot 2022 will be held at the held beginning on Thursday, September 1st, and will conclude on Sunday, September 4th. The event will take place in person at St. Anne's College in Oxford, as well as online. I'm sure so many people are just waiting, with bated breath to pay for this seminar series. As a part of the event's programming, the Tolkien Society revealed that they will feature a talk or paper by Robin Reed, a professor at Texas A&M University Commerce, titled J.R.R. Tolkien, Culture Warrior, Alt-Right Religious Crusades, Appropriation of Tolkien. While it's unclear what the actual contents of the paper or talk are actually are, the title makes it very clear it appears to be a political piece and will more than likely highlight Robin Reed's political views rather than any kind of actual discussion about Tolkien. And that's been, I think, the biggest problem with the Tolkien Society, and also with a lot of these shills who are defending Rings of Power from legitimate criticism, is that they are not really caring at all about the intentions or life or legacy of Tolkien, and more so what they in their own heads have imagined and have created out of just thin air in their brain, something that doesn't make any sense. It goes on to say, and this type of discussion is no stranger to Reed, as she previously gave a talk during the New York Tolkien conference at Baruch College titled Atheist, Agnostics, and Animist, Oh My, Secular Readings of J.R.R. Tolkien's Legendarium back in 2019. If anyone's appropriating anything, it's amazing how it's like there's an alt-right religious crusade to appropriate Tolkien. If there's any type of appropriation going on, I need no look further than that title from 2019. Atheist, Agnostic, Animist, Secular Readings of J.R.R. Tolkien's. Okay, that's you trying to appropriate a man who was very passionately Catholic, was very clear about his Catholic faith consistently. We can see his Catholic faith within his works themselves. And what you're trying to do is to say, hey, guess what? We can try and make all of these insinuations from it. Now, if you're just simply saying that the works of Tolkien are for everyone, guess what? We already know that. That's what's so amazing about the work of Tolkien. That's what's so amazing about The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings is that these are stories where you don't have to be a Christian to enjoy them because they're just at their heart and at their core, really good, entertaining, well-built, well-crafted stories with great characters and great character arcs. If anyone's appropriating anything, it's the Tolkien Society who, by its very name, is appropriating the name of Tolkien for their own political agenda rather than actual basing anything they say in facts or in reality. Oh, look at this. Here's a little photo of them from 2019. There's Professor Reed right there with a very short haircut. I digress. Regardless of the contents of Reed's talk or paper, Tolkien made it very clear that The Lord of the Rings were a Catholic work. In letter 142 to Father Robert Murray, S.J., Tolkien wrote, quote, "I have been cheered specially by what you have said this time and before because you are more perceptive, especially in some directions, than anyone else, and have even revealed to me and more clearly some things about my work. I think I know exactly what you mean by the order of grace, and of course by your references to Our Lady, upon which all my own small perception of beauty, both in majesty and simplicity, is founded. The Lord of the Rings is, of course, a fundamentally religious and Catholic work, unconsciously so at first, but consciously in the revision," he declared. "That is why I have not put in or have cut out practically all references to anything like religion, to cult or practices in the imaginary world. For the religious element is absorbed into the story and the symbolism. However, that is very clumsily put and sounds more self-important than I feel. For as a matter of fact, I have consciously planned very little and should chiefly be grateful for having been brought up since I was 8 in a faith that has nourished me and taught me all the little that I know and that I owe to my mother, clung to her conversion and died young, largely through the hardships of poverty resulting from it." So again, in his own work, of course, a fundamentally religious and Catholic work. And yet, these same people who clearly don't care at all about what Tolkien actually said or what he actually wrote, again, it's like they have this perception in their brain. It's almost as if it's this large game of telephone, right? It's almost as if they've received the stories of The Lord of the Rings, that they've received the stories of The Hobbit, they've received all of these different stories, all these different works, through telephone, so they only get a perception of what the story is about, probably a skewed version of the story itself, and then they take that and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this broken perception of the story, and then I'm going to run with it to say whatever it is that I want to say. So again, the only appropriation that's happening here is from this group, is from the Tolkien Society, by ignoring the fact that J.R. Tolkien was a devout Catholic, that Catholicism inspired his work, and he even admits it, saying both unconsciously and consciously, right? That cannot be denied. And even if he didn't say that as clearly, it's already clear if you know his upbringing and then look to the very clear themes that his stories tell. But again, they don't care about any actual truth whatsoever. It goes on to say, in letter 195 to Amy Ronald, Tolkien also made it very clear he was a Roman Catholic. Tolkien wrote, one point, Frodo's attitude to weapons was personal. He was not, in modern terms, a pacifist. Of course, he was mainly horrified at the prospect of civil war among hobbits. But he had, I suppose, also reached the conclusion that physical fighting is actually less ultimately effective than most good men think it. He then declared, actually, I am Christian and indeed a Roman Catholic so that I do not expect history to be anything but a long defeat, though it contains and in a legend may contain more clearly and movingly some examples of or glimpses of final victory. Talking there about how on earth we are in constant battle against the forces of evil, right? Constant battle against the temptations of evil and sin, but there are always these glimpses that occur in our own life of that final victory, alluding there to heaven, of course.
In letter 213 to Deborah Webster, Tolkien again reiterated you could see his faith and the fact that he was Christian and Roman Catholic from his stories. He wrote, quote, I was born in 1892 and lived for my early years in the Shire in a pre-mechanical age. Or more important, I am a Christian, which can be deduced from my stories, and in fact a Roman Catholic. The latter fact perhaps cannot be deduced, though one critic, by letter, asserted the invocations of Elbereth and the character of Galadriel as directly described, or through the words of Gimli and Sam, were clearly related to Catholic devotion to Mary. Tolkien further wrote, another saw in Waybread, Lembas Bread, Viaticum, and the reference to its feeding the will, and being more potent when fasting, a derivation from the Eucharist. That is, far greater things may color the mind in dealing with lesser things of a fairy story. So as you can see, there are countless letters where he references not only his own personal faith, but also how that faith pervades the very stories that he tells, either from him directly or from him confirming the suspicions of others, or at least saying, hey, the way in which you view this makes sense. Because we don't always, in the case of those that are creators, those that are writers, artists, etc., immediately say, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I want to write a story and just put my faith directly into all of these works exactly in this specific way. Instead, it's, hey, this is how I was raised. This is how I was raised to view the world. And so when I'm creating a story, the way in which I was raised, my philosophy very much rooted in religious belief, is what's going to impact the way in which I write this story. So even though he may not have said, ooh, let me create this Lambda's Bread, and that's going to be the Eucharist, instead it's a, hey, as he's creating the story, he creates something that is very similar to and alludes to a Eucharistic understanding. And again, that stems from his own personal history and his own growth and development during a time of traditional Catholicism, where he would have been going to the Latin Mass, where there was a very clear and universal amongst Catholics belief in the real presence of the Eucharist, of which in today's world has fallen so far. But we can tell from this very clearly, and obviously anyone who's modest already knows these facts, but apparently the Tolkien Society doesn't quite understand these facts. By again, the fact that they are going to give, for those that missed it, the Tolkien Society is going to be hosting an event in September 2022, and there's going to be either a talk or a paper that's going to be given by Robin Reed, who is one that gave a talk on atheism and agnosticism in Tolkien. And her title for this talk and paper is J.R. Tolkien, Culture Warrior, the Alt-Right Religious Crusades Appropriation of Tolkien. No, again, the only appropriating going on here is from you, Robin Reed, and from the Tolkien Society themselves. Again, there's no religious crusade to appropriate Tolkien. Tolkien was already very clearly, passionately, and vocally Catholic. Very, very passionately a Christian, a believer in Christ, and admits to the fact that Catholicism influenced his stories. You don't have to be a Catholic to still enjoy his stories, but I do think that you appreciate them and understand them at a much deeper level if you do come from the same background. It's similar to other stories written in other cultures. If you're part of that culture or you know about that culture, you can dive further into the deeper meanings. The only crusade is the far left's crusade to try to appropriate Tolkien for their own uses. It's amazing how if they're not trying to cancel him outright, instead, they're trying to create up gobbledygook nonsense. But anyway, that is what's going on with the Tolkien Society. So let me hear y'all's thoughts about this, and we'll see where the conversation goes from there. Soul Assassin, hail to you. Amazon Lord of the Rings will go down as most expensive fan series. Yep. Definitely think that's the way that we need to understand it. Bradley Scott, welcome to the chat. Glad to have you here. Scott McKenzie, who's a member, says Amazon looked at the Lord of the Rings appendices for their source material, but they appear to be about as related to Tolkien as D&D or World of Warcraft. Exactly. They can claim that they got their inspiration or their characters from wherever, but if you're not going to make it with the proper understanding of where these characters come from and the mindset of the creator themselves, you're going to fail, ultimately. I always use this as the example. When Disney got their grubby little hands on A Wrinkle in Time and gave it to political activist claiming to be a filmmaker called Ava DuVernay, when they gave her $100 million and that film ended up being a massive flop, one of the reasons why the film sucked was because she decided to take a story rooted as well in Christianity from a Christian writer, decided to strip God out of it, to strip religion out of it completely, which left it as a soulless shell. And that's what these people want to do. That's what the Tolkien Society want to do. That is what anyone who tries to take any of these stories, adapt them, re-understand them for the modern world, that's what they want to do. They want to strip any sense of religion. It's not even just any sense of Christ or any sense of faith, any sense of religion. He doesn't say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ. He says, I am a Roman Catholic. Again, religion is not just a series of beliefs. It is an act of the will to offer proper worship to God. And clearly that had a major impact in his stories, in his life. Important for us to talk about. Snor Pupus says, I will have to regard the Amazon garbage the same way. I used to look at the Bad Lord of the Rings fan fiction. It is anathema and has nothing to do with the real works of J.R.R. Tolkien. Absolutely. Absolutely. Steven tagged to say, now that we are in the prime season of summer block movies, what movies do you plan on seeing this month? I talked about that earlier in the stream. There really isn't a whole lot left that I have any interest in going to see. Bullet Train is the next one I can think of, and that's not until August. So, General Wingster, who's a member, says, Snor Pupus, I got all books and the first three movies. I am content. Boom. There you go. Zach Gregg definitely seems that way. It's kind of hard to argue the alternative. Nathan Slay, Jeremy Johns is cool, but him calling Avatar Isomtacular as well, having so much faith in Avatar 2, I find disturbing. Well, he's still human, and he can still make mistakes. So, I'll still go to bat for him because he's one of the very few mainstream movie reviewers that, at the very least, will more publicly call out companies like Disney for Star Wars and for their Marvel stuff. So, Sherry Allen, what's going on? Thank you for being here. Appreciate it. Kirzilla, who is a member, says JRRT's work is complete, in my opinion. Anything being created or added to the Legendarium, now it's only being done for agenda. Absolutely. Absolutely. His works are set in stone. All right. What inspired those works is set in stone. So that means two things. One, you can't just go out of your way to recreate in your own image the foundational principles that led and inspired the way he wrote. And two, you can't just add new things and say these are a part of the world of Tolkien when they were never at any point in the mind, on the radar. Chris from the 80s, what's going on? Welcome. John Phillips, welcome to the chat. Appreciate you having you here. Nearside Cyclops, what's going on? Welcome back. Let's see, Rob D. Tagged to say, I remember years back, SJWs complained that there's no female wizards in Lord of the Rings. They don't even know wizard means male and witch means female. Saying female wizard is like saying male princess. Yes. But you see, what you just used there was simple reasoning and logic, of which many of these people don't actually have. They never had to take critical thinking skills. They never had to take courses on how to think critically. They never took a basic philosophy course either. Because if they had, they would understand some of these concepts, and even if they disagreed with them, could at the very least wrap their heads around it, be able to perceive it, understand it, etc. But they didn't, and they don't. And so therefore, they are left simply with whatever it is that their liberal college professors have preached to them as truth, as doctrine, and have been spun a lie, which is sad to see. Scott McKenzie, for Tolkien, Catholicism was not an opinion to which one subscribed, but a reality to which one submitted. Amen. Absolutely. Because that is what faith is. Again, it's not just, you know, we have, I think, in our modern world, this understanding of faith and religion through a false premise. What it is it's to use the mind, our intellect, and our will and submit them to God for his greater glory. That is what faith truly is, and that's what religion truly is as well. But right now, we live in a world where these terms have been kind of turned on their heads to mean something that they're not. And I think people are unfortunately missing the forest for the trees, I should say, when it comes down to these understandings. But yeah, it's, again, Catholicism, that same goes for me too. It's not just an opinion, right? It is reality itself, right? My Catholic faith pervades and influences all of the decisions that I make in this life. John Phillips, what's going on? Thanatos Felicitas says, the only trilogy that is more Christian than Lord of the Rings, The Chronicles of Narnia. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, we got Harwick in the chat saying, Tolkien clarified that his wizards were angelic beings rather than practitioners of witchcraft, and that he used the word wizard in the classical sense of one who is wise. Yeah. And that's why, if you actually pay attention even just to the movies, right, and you pay attention to the character of Gandalf, what is Gandalf doing more often than anything else? He is spinning wisdom. He is helping. He is counseling. Yes. Does he use, you know, magic from time to time? Sure. He is a wizard. But more so than not, he is obviously fighting, or he is giving wisdom. Snortapoopus, who is a member, says, these are the same types of morons you use to talk about they're not any money in Lord of the Rings, despite Bilbo giving out pennies to the children and Frodo paying 12 silver pennies for Bill the Pony. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, because I'm sure that it makes sense for any world that's ever built, especially one where it's obviously a fantasy world, but it's very much rooted in things that Tolkien would have had in his own life. I mean, the bars, the pubs, right? I'm sure that those had an influence in how he understood those. And guess what? Yeah, you don't just get it for free. You got to pay for it. Sounds more like a socialist utopia, which we as all of us who have any common sense know is complete garbage. Is a fantasy that just doesn't work. Doesn't work at all. Sherry Allen tagged and said, it's a shame that most of today's authors aren't at the same standard as Tolkien. No, and just think about it, though. It's almost impossible for us to ever conceive of having the next Tolkien, because think about the world that Tolkien grew up in. It was a much more Christian society. It was a much more Christian world. There was a much higher influence of the church in the world, too. And we can talk about how there are negatives to that as well from a political standpoint, because we all know even if one is a member of the church, does not make that person perfect. However, it's within the church herself where once you start to see a degradation of catechesis, once you start to see a degradation of the philosophical principles that root our faith in reason and the intellect, not just a feeling, but in reason and the intellect, and understanding it as a submission of the will and intellect to something that is greater than ourselves, which is what the very definition of true love is, to put the good of another before our own. In the case of God, it's called faith, religion, right? To put God's will ahead of ourselves, right? To submit our will, to submit our intellect, which is a difficult choice to make. But we look at a world now where so few people do that. Makes sense then that you have a lot of these stories that don't really come about. And I'm not saying that you have to be a Catholic to write a good series or a good story. There are countless other stories and countless other writers that have existed who have not been Christian. But I do think that that is a big part of it. Because as we've just mentioned in this chat alone, if you talk about some of the greatest fantasies of the last however many years, the two names that come up come from Christian backgrounds. You have C.S. Lewis, G.K. Chesterton, Tolkien. I mean, I don't know many other people that are bigger than them. Scott McKenzie says, Tolkien influenced his friend C.S. Lewis towards being a theist. Yeah. Got close to, you know, pushing him in other directions as well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the ring represents sin. That's why one of the things I use in my class, because I teach morality in my school, you know, I do morality for one of the semesters, and one of the things that I show is a clip from Lord of the Rings: Return of the King, and it's the sequence where you find the origins of Gollum, where you find the origins of Sméagol. And it's meant to show the effects of sin. Now, again, book, movie, going to be a little bit different, but the way in which the movie portrays it, I think, is very, very effective in showing the effects of sin on the human soul, right? What does it do? It leads him to literally give up reason, right? To give up logic itself, to kill one of his kin for this ring, right? He gets corrupted by it, commits this act, and then the book doesn't, or rather the movie doesn't go into it, but the book does, where it's from this, though, that he starts to do more and more bad things, right? So that sin continues to corrupt, and eventually you start to see this physical transformation take place, which is a visible representation of what happens to the soul when impacted by sin. Oh yeah, there's so much rich imagery in these stories. And that's why when I look to an article like this coming from the Tolkien Society about this paper that's going to be featured about alt-right religious crusade appropriation of Tolkien, it's like, you don't even know or understand any of the meaning or deeper symbolism behind his stories or his characters. You barely even know anything about him. Because if you take Christianity, if you take his Roman Catholicism out of the story altogether, guess what? You don't have Lord of the Rings. You don't have The Hobbit. You have a shell. You would have the movie version of Wrinkle in Time, which, if you haven't seen it, don't. It's crap. Hardwick says, have you heard of The Terminal List? It's new Chris Pratt. Yes. I've heard positive things from people about it. But here's the thing. I'm willing to give it a shot at some points. JKDBuck76 was talking to me about it earlier and said that he thought it was a pretty solid show. But the reason why I'm hesitant is because this just, to me, sounds like another Chris Pratt show / movie that people are going to bat for because he happens to be he's being attacked by the media and by critics because of stuff that probably has nothing to do with the show. But it's like, does that mean that the show is good, or does that mean that it's just being propped up because people want to push these things and images onto Chris Pratt that may not actually be true? You know, I talked about this last week about him going after religion itself, going back to the discussion today about Tolkien. Again, a proper understanding of what religion actually is. Conforming the mind and will, conforming the intellect to submit to God, which is what Tolkien believed in and is what pervaded all of his works, because it pervaded his very being, his very essence, the way in which he lived his life. And so I don't really have very positive views of Chris Pratt in that way when I hear the words he has to say about religion. But then also, too, it reminds me of the Tomorrow War. Remember when Tomorrow War came out? What was the instant reaction everyone had? Oh, well, it's not woke. Go watch it. It's great. Why? Oh, it's not woke. That's not a good reason. That's a terrible reason, in fact. So that's my concern. So again, I'm not saying it's not good. I haven't watched it, so I can't say for sure. But I think that you'll probably understand why, especially in the midst of what happened with the Tomorrow War, why I'm very skeptical to give it a shot. When I'm hearing the same types of arguments that I heard back in the day when Tomorrow War came out. I have my doots. Longgum in A3, thanks for being a member of the channel, says, I've always seen Aragorn reclaiming the throne of Gondor as symbolic for the great monarch prophecy and the return of the monarchy to France. Yeah, I think you could definitely look to that. I think also it's symbolic of, I think you could look to, of course, the allusions to Christ the King as well, right? That peace cannot truly exist. We cannot enter into the next age, the next step, until Christ is King. And that's something that some people, and especially Americans, are very uncomfortable with, right? Because we typically don't like the concept of monarchy, you know, from our history and from our past. But ultimately, you know, that's when we say the kingdom of God, we mean the kingdom of God, Christ as king. And if Christ is not king of our life, we're not doing it right. We need to rethink ourselves. If Christ is not king of our life. Jonathan the Red Shirt, what's going on? Hail to you. Mark Lesseth, hail to you. Thanks for being here. It put latency to say, would you want to make a video explaining how Tolkien does not need updating for modern times, explaining it to someone who's not too smart, i.e., well, just based on the time, he must be racist. Well, I think that this video and stream hopefully has kind of gotten that point across. I think that what John F. Trent was able to do over on Odyssey, not Odyssey, over on his website, did a pretty great job in doing just that. In fact, let's go ahead and continue on with that article from Bounding Into Comics, because he does have a few other quotes here. And again, it's very important for us to recognize this is not just some random quote pulled out of nowhere that show these things. Instead, it's a series of quotes from a series of letters where it's consistently saying the same thing, right? So as it says here, he further reiterated. So this is, again, from Bounding Into Comics, talking here about the words of Tolkien himself. He further reiterated his comments about Galadriel in letter 320 to Mrs. Ruth Austin, where he wrote, quote, I was particularly interested in your remarks about Galadriel. I think it is true that I owe much of this character to Christian and Catholic teaching and imagination about Mary. But actually, Galadriel was a penitent, in her youth a leader in the rebellion against Valar, the angelic guardians. At the end of the First Age, she proudly refused forgiveness or remission, or rather, sorry, she proudly refused forgiveness or permission to return. She was pardoned because of her resistance to the final and overwhelming temptation to take the ring for herself. That brings an entirely new dynamic to that story. That brings an entirely new dynamic to those that have just seen the movie, right? Is that moment, right, when she is tempted to take the ring and she refuses, that is her moment, right? She says, I've passed the test. Story of redemption. Aside from Tolkien making it very clear that his work on Lord of the Rings is Catholic, in numerous letters, he also has numerous letters discussing his faith. In letter 250 to his son, Michael Tolkien, he wrote, the only cure for sagging of fainting faith is communion. Though always itself perfect and complete and inviolate, the blessed sacrament does not operate completely and once for all in any of us. Like the act of faith, it must be continuous and grow by exercise. Frequency is of the highest effect. 7 times a week is more nourishing than 7 times at intervals. In letter 49 to C.S. Lewis, someone mentioned C.S. Lewis earlier, he wrote, you observe that you are really committed with the Christian church as a whole to the view that Christian marriage, monogamous, permanent, rigidly, oh, that word rigid, Pope Francis hates that word, faith, is in fact the truth about sexual behavior for all humanity. That is the only road of total health, including sex in its proper place for all men and women. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of reasons for modern society to completely hate Tolkien. Because as you can see from this, he is what we now unfortunately have to say is a traditional Catholic. I would like to just be able to say he's a Roman Catholic, but unfortunately, we have to actually stipulate that, no, he was a traditional Catholic. Prior to Vatican II, prior to the Concilium, prior to a lot of the corruption in doctrine specifically that we really saw permeate the last 50, 60 years. He then goes on, quote, that it is dissonant with men's present sex psychology does not disprove this, as you see. I think it is the instinct that has gone wrong, you say. Indeed, if this were not so, it would be an intolerable injustice to impose permanent monogamy even on Christians, he wrote. If Christian marriage were, in the last analysis, unnatural, of the same type as, say, the prohibition of flesh meat in certain monastic rules, it could be imposed on a special chastity order of the church, not on the universal church. No item of compulsory Christian morals is valid only for Christians. So, clearly, Robin Reed, who's going to give this talk for the Tolkien Society, has not read these letters. Or likely has not read these letters. Again, there is no crusade that's being waged by, quote, alt-right religious people. It's rather Catholics recognizing Catholics, or rather recognizing the Catholicism that is pervading all of the works and the mind and the life of Tolkien. And even non-Catholics can recognize this. It's just the disingenuous people like Robin Reed and the Tolkien Society that can't. Because, of course, they've got to push their agenda. Cygnus Jacqueline, welcome to the chat. Glad to have you here. Getting back to that chat. See, Gus says, take away the foundation and it all falls. Exactly. Using scripture for a second, it's like building a house on sand. Sure, it might stand for a while, but as soon as a storm comes, it has no foundation, it gets swept away. Versus the house built on rock, on a firm foundation, on the rock. Petros in Greek, where of course we get the name Peter. Input Lazy Tide to say, if you don't want to do that kind of video, any clue on somewhere who has? Trying to get my sisters out of the NPC download. Love you, brother in Christ. Hail to you, man. I know for a fact that there are tons of videos out there on Tolkien, his faith, etc. So I would just, there's no way I would ever be able to match some of the talent and really some of the clear understanding that exists from amongst Catholic commentators on Tolkien. So I don't know of any off the top of my head, but I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure there's countless videos going through it. I mean, there's courses. There are Catholic college courses on Tolkien and his faith, right, on Lord of the Rings and Catholicism, right, on that Catholic symbolism, Catholic imagery within his works. I'm sure that you can find probably even an online series about it. Scott McKenzie, who's a member, says, Robin Reed's paper, quote, queer atheist, agnostics, and animist, oh my, and part of the diversity panel last year online Tolkien Society in July. Yeah, I remember that Father Christopher Miller, hail to Father Christopher Miller. I think he actually was able to get access to the online stream or something to that effect. But yeah, interesting times. Joey Horn, what's going on, good sir? Thanks for being here. Curezilla, who is a member, says, no one from Amazon is going to add anything Christian to Tolkien's work, let alone Catholic. You could say there will be a little heresy in their additions. Yeah, if anything, it would be heretical. But again, it would be like taking away from a Christian author any symbolism, any philosophical undertones of their faith. You're stripping it away. You're stripping it away. I guess another equivalent, I guess, since obviously people like Robin Reed probably, you know, they function on the level of looking at all things through race and gender and sexual ideology, right? That's just kind of their obsession. It would be like, hey, you know The Wiz, right? It's an urban adaptation of The Wizard of Oz, right? Featuring an all black cast. It would be like having an adaptation of The Wiz or even The Color Purple with an all-white cast. Kind of missing the point, right? You're kind of stripping away the key elements and the key foundations of why those projects were brought to fruition and the history and the origins of those projects. That's what you're doing by stripping away any sense of philosophical or religious undertones within his work. Or within any of these works, for that matter. Because again, it's not just Tolkien's work that's being impacted here. The writer of A Wrinkle in Time's work was stripped. The C.S. Lewis adaptations were not very good for Chronicles of Narnia, the live actions, but you know, similar mindset there, where if you take those and you ignore his Christian faith, you're not getting the full picture. Wookie Fever, what's going on? Welcome back to the chat. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it. Snorta Poopus Cuber, who is a member, says the Elvish words for wizard are Istar or Ithron, and more or less mean one who knows. Exactly. Exactly. By the way, Snow Golem 13 and Abomination, I see y'all over on Odyssey. Thanks for being here. If y'all have a comment or question that you want me to read, just put @Odin at the very beginning of your comment. Shout out to the Odyssey fam. But yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Not to mention, let's just for a moment talk about how amazing it is how anyone, but especially Tolkien in this specific instance, was able to create his own language. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It truly is. Talk about languages that if I had all the time in the world that I'd learn. Jenna Wingster, who's a member, says, I remember an Asian woman author complaining that Tolkien's books were still outselling hers and others, even though he's dead. Yes. You want to know how that happens? When you create an iconic work that stands the test of time. The problem with a lot of modern stories, even ones that might be on the number one or top five best-selling books on the New York Times bestsellers list. You want to know what the problem with those stories is? Most of them fade away. Most of them might have their own little small fan base that keeps them going, but ultimately they don't actually ascend culture. Again, if we're talking about some of the greatest works of fiction of all time, some of the greatest authors of all time, Tolkien, Lewis, Chesterton are always in the discussion. Kevin Ord, welcome to the chat. Appreciate you being here. I saw this mention of orthodoxy. Yeah, there's a lot. I still need to read a lot of G.K. Chesterton's work, C.S. Lewis's work as well. There was a set of C.S. Lewis books, specifically his works on faith and religion. And so I can't wait to actually dive into those stories. So many things I want to read and go through. Hardwick tagged to say one of the biggest progenitors of fantasy genre was Robert E. Howard, who was agnostic, but even he created religious characters. Conan worships Crome, and Solomon Kane is a Puritan. Yeah, and that's the other thing too, right? Is even in the authors that are not themselves persons of faith, because they live in the world, and because they live in a post-Christian world, what that means is that they are still going to be influenced by Christianity. So that, I think, is another aspect to it that we have to look into as well. Is even if someone is not a person in a personal follower of faith, a personal follower of Christ, what impact did Christian education have on their life? What impact did the Christian cultural values, because we look to our own country, we look to our own founding documents, and they are pervaded with Judeo-Christian values and understandings of the world? So, again, Scott McKenzie, who's a member, says, Tolkien Society has clearly embraced the woke religion. Exactly. It's a dangerous one. Orange Tower Views member says, if the ring represents sin and Frodo gives into it at the final moment, what does that say about Frodo because he chose to keep it? If it wasn't for Gollum and his clumsiness, the ring wins out. But here is the thing. Even though he gives in, even though he gives into that temptation, what happens? Something evil happens to him. And this is where I think, for me, I look to that as a commentary on how God allows things to happen sometimes. And sometimes we don't know why, right? Why does God allow any of these terrible things in our life that actually happen? There's always a reason. We may not clearly understand it right away. It may not be something that's directly towards us. Maybe it's the impact that that event has on someone else in our life. Right? To know the will and to know the mind of God is like trying to fill the entire ocean into a small hole on the beach, right? That's back to a story of St. Augustine. You know, to try and fit the mind of God into the human mind is impossible. To try to understand completely the will of God is impossible. So I looked at that rather as these things happened, and yet what was Frodo allowed to do? Frodo was allowed still, even at the bottom, right? Even after committing one of the most heinous, in this context, sins imaginable, he still had a path. Gollum had decades and decades and decades and decades and decades of time and of chances. Losing the ring, for instance. We look to that and we say, okay, there's a chance for him to have that separation. There's a lot. Oh man, we have so much conversations about the symbolism within these stories, but that's how I would look at it personally. John Baker, what's up? Thanks for being here. Appreciate you. Snakes in the chat. Input latency. Tad to say, I feel we should drop the phrase, it's better than what's out nowadays, since it's saying nothing. Sure, the sandwich was blander than sand, but at least it's not injected with bubonic plague. Yes, input latency. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point I'm trying to make. That's going back to the comment that I was making specifically about the Tomorrow War, but it can be made about a lot of other movies too. Right, if our main argument for supporting and defending a movie is, well, hey, at least it's not woke, is like saying, well, hey, this sandwich doesn't taste very good, but at least it's not poison, am I right? It's silly. No, we need to support good projects. That's why, for me, I look to what the Daily Wire is doing, and I look to documentaries like What is a Woman? And I say, that's actually a really well-made documentary that I think is so important for this generation, the most important documentary of this generation, that I think everyone needs to see it. I look to what they've done with Terror on the Prairie, and is it a perfect film? No. Is it a solid little film? Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of good stuff in there. But it would be wrong if the film wasn't good and we said, well, hey, Gina Carano's in it and we need to support it because she's in it. No. Even she was like, I want y'all to be honest about it. I want y'all to tell us, you know, I want y'all to tell us how it is. Because that's all the point of what they're doing, is that they're trying to create content that does not push these progressive messaging and typically doesn't even push really any messaging whatsoever. Unless you consider, you know, standing up on your laurels as being messaging of some kind. But I think it is important for us to look to these, right? I think it's important for us to look to and understand these different aspects. And yeah, I totally agree. Well, at least it's not this. Let's see. Miss Minnesota Hockey fan says Tolkien wrote some of the Silmarillion during the First World War. Yeah. And again, that's why you look to his books and you say, okay, his faith clearly inspired his works. His time in the war clearly inspired his works, his understanding of war, right? I was just reading from one of his letters where he talks about saying Frodo was not a pacifist. That's a term that we would use in today's world, but he understood the ramifications of war. He didn't want there to be fighting. And so, again, I think that that worldview, clearly inspired by his faith, but also inspired by his own knowledge of seeing the atrocities of war. Dean Heiss, what's up? Says, sorry I'm late. Hope everyone's having a safe and happy Independence Day. Well, it's July 5th, so it was yesterday, but I hope everyone had a great one, absolutely. GJJ, thank you for the $5 super chat, says, Terminalist is not a CP show. It's a Jack Carr one, and believe me, it's good. So again, by CP, am I taking that to be politically correct? I don't know what CP is meant to stand for. I always need context. But okay. Again, it's a show I'm willing to give a shot to. I'm just seeing a lot of the same people saying a lot of the same things that I remember when it was being done with Tomorrow War, and it was just like, oh my goodness. So if it's good, great. But Hamlin and Berger, The Terminalist is far, far better than Tomorrow War. It is excellent on its own merits. Chris Pratt's excellent acting and the lack of wokeness are merely icing on the cake. Okay. All right. See, that's the type of explanation. See, that to me is what the argument should always be, right? Is no, it's good. Right, it's well made, it's well written, the acting's good. The extra stuff like lack of wokeness, etc., those are just icings. Those are just tops of the cake, basically. Okay. That I think is a much more nuanced approach, I think one could say. Versus the other way around, which is, hey, well, it's not very good, but hey, at least it's not what it's like. Okay, that's like saying you have the icing, but you don't have the cake. Yeah, icing can be good. Icing is delicious, but without a cake, all you got is a bunch of icing. And I want icing with the cake, too. I want it all. I want it all. CP Chris Pratt. Okay, I saw that in live chat, Hardwick. Not a Chris Pratt show. It's a Jack Carr one. Okay. I don't quite understand that still either. Cleavis McDonald, what's going on? Good, sir. Time to say, rewatch John Carpenter's Vampires. Forgot how good it was. Thinking about just watching classics for the remainder of the year. Hey, I don't think you can't really go wrong with watching classics. There's a reason why we call them classics. But there are some pretty solid good films that have come out the last couple of years. I've talked about these already, but I would recommend things like The Outfit. Thought this was a solid little flick. Again, is it groundbreaking? Is it the next Casablanca? No, it's a solid little flick. I would also put up there Old Henry. Solid little film as well. Again, both of them were solid B-range films for me. Of course, you've got Top Gun Maverick out there, which I think is phenomenal. Let's see. General Winkster's member says, it's sad Chris Tolkien isn't here now. He wouldn't stand for this BS. I agree. He was the only thing really holding back the floodgates. You know, not just with him finishing a lot of the projects that his father never finished, not just with him standing in the way of anyone trying to railroad or trying to create a vision of his father's work that opposed the very nature and the very essence of what his father was trying to write for. But yeah, without him, there really isn't anyone left to hold back those floodgates. And so that's why, to me, Rings of Power is going to be interesting, because I do think the first episode is going to be huge. I think the first episode is going to get so much traffic. I wouldn't be surprised even if there were some glitches and if there were crashes, like servers crashing. I think that could be how big it is. But I also believe that episode two, if all the stuff that we're seeing in the trailers, in the leaks, etc., is to be understood and believed, I don't see how two doesn't have a massive, massive drop till eventually it just goes into obscurity. Let's see, Gus tagged to say, just bought the Lord of the Rings set, going to read it with my son in hopes that we can start a new tradition. Gus, that's awesome. Yeah, I cannot wait for baby Thor to be at the age when he can actually either read or rather be read to. Because I have the books. I have an entire, it's like a small, they're like pocket edition leatherette. I don't think they're real leather, but it's like, I think it's like leatherette covers and the faux leather covers. And the text is a little on the small side, but I don't mind that nearly as much. But it was a nice little set having all four of those books. And so I cannot wait to do that. My dad read The Hobbit to me when I was younger. As we got older, he would start reading The Lord of the Rings to us as well. But then also two audiobooks. I mean, the fact that audiobooks have come such a long way, and there's two different versions. You have a more classical reading of Lord of the Rings from, I guess, what, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And then you also now have the newer ones where Andy Serkis does the reading for the book. So even just listening to those, I think, would be a lot of fun. Can't wait to do road trips. You know, we used to listen to classic rock on road trips with my dad, but I think I'd be much more interested in listening to some audiobooks. That's something I would really love to, because I was not much of a reader. Because with my ADD, it was always very difficult for me to focus on pages, to focus on these different stories. But with audiobooks, and now with the rising of audiobooks and the accessibility of audiobooks, it is just a new world in so many ways. So I've gotten through so many more because of that. And I would love to be able to, like, that to me is just thinking it in my head, thinking just like me and my son just going on a backpacking trip or a camping trip, and the whole way we're just listening to Lord of the Rings, or we're listening to, you know, an EU Star Wars novel, right? Like Darth Plagueis, or the X-Wing series, or the Darth Bane. Like, again, there's just so, we're living in as terrible as the time can be, as terrible as our culture can be, there are some pretty cool stuff, pretty cool things that are happening right now. Let's see, General Wingster, whose member says, so an atheist is going to talk about a story enveloped in religious subtext. Sounds about right. Exactly. That's exactly what's going on here. Is she's saying, yeah, let's talk. So she's already given a talk about, right, these secular undertones and secular readings of Tolkien's work. But now they're creating this false narrative of a so-called alt-right religious crusade to appropriate his work. It's like, no. Like, you realize that Tolkien is more Catholic than the vast majority of Catholics today, because he actually understood his faith. He actually understood that faith is not just a set of beliefs. It is an act of the will and intellect. He understood it. He got it, because there was so much more, there was so much better catechesis during that time. I think it was better catechesis in addition to a much more sacred liturgy as well. All of those go hand in hand together. The law of faith is the law of belief. Lex orandi, lex credendi. What we pray is what we believe. If what we pray is the priest facing us at a table, giving us the image of a meal, versus a priest at an altar facing the altar with all of us in worship, hopefully that small image itself shows you two clearly different understandings. Masters of the Nerd, and welcome to the chat, good sir. Curezilla, who is a member on the channel, says, anyone that supports a traditional family with both parents at the home, kids going to school, father leading worship values are seen as the enemy by modern Hollywood, mainstream media, etc. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and it's like, it's not even just that they're viewed as being one of many options, but that they are viewed as the enemy. I think that is the biggest part of it, right? Is that it's demonized. It's not just that it said, oh, well, you know, that's fine if that's something that your family does and there's other families that exist, right? It would be one thing if that was what was being said. I think there's a conversation that could be had there at the very least. But when your mindset, when your argument, as you just pointed out, right, and what we see in the mainstream media and in modern Hollywood is, no, it's evil and we're going to condemn it. Yeah, guess what? Going to cause some problems. Orange Review says, I've been saying it, their yearnings to change Tolkien's work will lead to republishing that will inevitably change the published work, which will be a travesty. Twain's works were altered too. Yeah. Now, I do think there's less of a chance of that happening with Tolkien's work, because when it comes to the works of Twain, I think the only things I can, correct me if I'm wrong, the only things that were changed were words that were offensive. Like, even though I think that they should remain in the book, I'm not someone that believes in editing these types of books, by the way, but I do think that they deserve to stay in the books. But I also recognize that the words themselves that were being pulled were words that in and of themselves were incredibly offensive and derogatory. There really isn't any of that in Tolkien's work at all. That's one of the great things about Tolkien's work, is that you can literally have it shown and read to anybody, you know? Whereas with the works of Twain or the works of others, you do need to have, I think, a bit of a cultural, not of a trigger warning, but of a cultural, hey, before we read this, because again, kids are kids. And so you need to have those conversations of, hey, guess what? This is how people spoke during this time. And this is the reason why this book is so important. This is the reason why this book cannot be changed, because we need to understand what these things were like historically if we're going to have any idea or understanding of where these people were coming from, and also why it is that this existed at this time, right? So I do think there's a bit of a difference there. I don't think that books should be changed at all, by the way. Again, I want to reiterate that I do not support the changing of books in any way. Okay, I just want to make that clear. But I don't think that you're going to see the same type of editing, because you don't have the same type of issue. Soul Sass and Dad to say, I recommend Miss Marmuse's channel for folks who want to learn about Tolkien. She, Stig, and Rainey are doing the Silmarillion one chapter every week. Yeah, huge shout out to Miss Marmuse's. She is a member of the channel, been a member of the channel for a long time. Every month, every other or every few months, I'm able to join her on Father's channel, Father Christopher Miller's channel, where we have a talk of faith. A bunch of Catholic nerds come together to talk. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, huge shout out to her. I need to dive into their streams. There's so much stuff to watch and so much stuff to listen to. My brain. I need a time turner. From Harry Potter. Rob D, what's your opinion on silent films? I'm no fan. I can't get past the audible film reel. The people look unnatural when they move, the scenes being vignettes. It depends on the film. I mentioned one earlier today, actually, in the morning stream. Someone asked who my favorite like stunt person or stunt sequence is, and I went old school with my first one, and it was Buster Keaton with Sherlock Jr. And it's a silent film, but it is so dynamic, and you're watching it. And because of the different stunts, because of the visual storytelling that's taking place, because Buster Keaton was a genius, it's very entertaining. That being said, there are silent films that I'm not a fan of that I do find a bit more so on the boring side, and are not really my cup of tea. So yeah, I have nothing against silent films. There are a lot of silent films that I like. There's a lot of silent films that I really want to watch, but yeah, it's not for everybody. That is for sure. But I would actually recommend watching some Buster Keaton, to be honest. Let's see. Input latency. Tad to say, apparently, Thor Love and Thunder got a 7 out of 10 from IGN, aka the lowest rating that IGN can give. Orange Review says he created several languages. Yep. 2 Elvish, I believe, 3 Dwarvish dialects, Black Speech, and others. Oh, yeah. I was just saying the fact that he created a language at all. I mean, today, by today's standards, creating one language already is a bit. Miss Martin Muses says, sorry, not Miss, Miss Minnesota Hockey Fan. I have Miss Martin Muses in from another comment, but Miss Minnesota Hockey Fan says, A Hobbit, a Wardrobe, and a Great War by Joseph LeConte is a fantastic book about Tolkien and Lewis. Nice. I like the title of that just on the surface. So now, of course, I've misplaced my pen somewhere. Oh, well. I'll have to remind myself of that later on. Hold on. Tina B, I saw some of the caps here. It says, LA Times just partially slammed Bloat and Blunder. Painless and pointless. Remember, take liquor if you go, per Jeremy Johns. Yeah, I think Jeremy Johns has the best review because I think he is the fairest, right? He says, hey, were there things that I thought were hilarious and laughed at? Absolutely. But guess what? A lot of the times when I laughed, I then a minute later said, yeah, I was stupid. It's like, yes. That is the type of honesty that we need in our reviews. Let's see, Sherry Allen says, author Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes, another example of great works. Rare example, Grand Film Studio kept it close as possible to the works with Jeremy Brett as Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. Again, there is a time when Hollywood actually, even Hollywood itself actually, was a lot more willing to be true to the source material. Cleavis McDonald says, these NPCs have no reverence, got timeless classics and holy texts, and only a matter of time before Jesus' life and teachings are ignored. Instead, shift focus on some irrelevant nonsense. Nope. They have no reverence for it whatsoever. You're completely correct on that. And it's this lack of reverence and this lack of understanding for these various works, for their importance to our own cultural understanding of the world itself. I mean, think about how many things, you know, I think it's amazing to me how so many people try to and desire for us to be in a post-Christian world or a post-Judeo-Christian world. And yet think about just how much of the world has been influenced by the works of scripture. And even prior to that, you even go back to the ancient Greeks. You even go back to this non-Judeo-Christian philosophy. Much of it is very close to what we find in modern Judeo-Christian political and social religious discourse. So, yeah. But anyway, I found my pen. I found my pen. So let me see if I can find that. Yeah. A Hobbit. Wardrobe. And Great War, LeConte. Cool. All right. Let me try and get through some more of these chats before we get to the end of the stream. It's been flying by tonight, people. It's been fun. Judge Dredd has said, hey, Odin, chat, how are you doing? How much stuff do you think there will be in Love and Thunder? I don't know. I don't really care, to be perfectly honest. let's see. I'd rather just be a good movie. Nearside Cyclops says, Frodo lost the Shire when he gave into the ring. He still saved it for everyone else, but he lost more than a finger that day. That's a great, great point, Nearside Cyclops. Absolutely. Right? Because even though he gave in, he still survived. Because sometimes that happens, right? Sometimes we give in to some of the deepest and darkest things that you would normally find no recovery from, and yet we are still given a path, but it's going to cost us, right? There's an act of penance there. I think you can look at his not returning to the Shire as being a great example of an act of penance. The Ghost, what's going on? Welcome. Announce, what's going on? Curezilla, hail to you. Member says, when we see quality on the market, we need to support it. The woke corporations will notice where our money is going. Exactly. That's why we need to see quality. We need to support quality. And it can't just be, we're going to support non-woke stuff. Because if it's just non-woke stuff, if it's bad non-woke stuff, meaning if it's really terrible quality, we're going to send the wrong message there. And also, it's going to be a lot harder for us to get people on our side on anything, or for us to be able to really have any solid ground to stand on if we continue to back projects like the Tomorrow War, for instance, which really aren't all that good. Because then people say, oh, you're just supporting random projects because of politics, which is exactly what we're being critical of in the first place. So we cannot do the same. Clifton 3D, what's going on? Welcome. Hardwick, yeah, there's the comment about Chris Pratt. Yeah, I don't know exactly what was being said there either, because he is still in the show. Rodney, honestly wish Amazon may Lord of the Rings spoof with a 7-foot-tall hobbit and a vegetarian dwarf. At least you know it's not meant to be taken seriously. At this point, I think a lot of us would much rather watch it. I did watch it finally. Definitely, it wouldn't be it's not one of my favorites of 2021, but it's a solid B. It was a solid film. Hardwick. Yep, I did. I didn't do a official video for it on the channel, but I think I was able to do an Instagram, Twitter video about it. And I have a Letterboxd star score up about it. But they were both solid Bs. Ba-da-ba-ba-dum-bum. Snort of Poopus. I love listening to Lord of the Rings audiobooks. I hope the library gets the Andy Serkis version so I can listen to it too. Yeah, I just really like Andy Serkis's voice. I just think that something very calming about it, etc. See, Laura says, sorry, I'm being quiet. I got no sleep last night because of the fireworks. Oh, no. Yeah. I assume that's not because of you. It's probably because of the dogs. Yeah. Poor River. She is terrified of fireworks. So, you know, they're already on anxiety meds. So we have to, when we know there's going to be fireworks from a baseball game or New Year's or 4th of July, we always have to like double med. And because there were fireworks all weekend where we were, it was not good. Let's see. Scott McKenzie says, agree the audiobooks are good and the dramatized ones are excellent. And I do like the circus readings. Yeah. He at one point did like a charity live stream where he was just reading the entire book. I think it may have just been The Hobbit, but still, it's really cool. Ms. Minnesota fan, I did not read Lord of the Rings until I was 14. My cousin gave me and my sister a copy of The Hobbit and Fellowship. Nice. Very cool. Hardwick says, have you heard of the audio recording of Tolkien reading The Ride of the Rohirrim? He prayed over the tape recorder first because he didn't fully trust new technology not to be diabolical. That's awesome. I have not heard that one. I've seen it, though. I've seen that clip online, so I can find it. Tina says, Stephanie will not make it tonight. She's not only just getting off from work. She's sick. She's going home and crashing. We're praying for Steph. Steph, if you're listening now or in the future, hope you are getting well, getting better soon. We are going to wrap things up here pretty soon. It relates to Tolkien was more Catholic than most Catholics today. Ouch. That hits deep. Pray for those claiming to be Catholic but believe very un-Catholic things. What's your name again? Pansy Nalosi? Yeah. I would... And yeah, it might be controversial, but I would say J.R. Tolkien was more Catholic than Pope Francis. Just being honest. At least more Orthodox. There's two sides. There's Orthodox, and by this I don't mean the Orthodox Church, but Orthodox teaching, traditional teaching, and then there's heterodox, which is opposed to Orthodox, meaning that it's pushing heresy. All right, let's see. Gus says, funny you mention road trips and audiobooks. We will likely do a family trip to Arizona for a church conference and very tempted to blast some Lord of the Rings. Just got into audiobooks too. Nice, dude. Yeah, I recommend. I think both are good. The Andy Serkis ones are definitely newer, so quality is a little bit better there from just general quality standpoint. But from what I've listened to, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Hardwick says, to be clear, I don't mean that his prayer is in the recording. He prayed over the tape recorder. Yeah, that's what I assumed you meant in the first place. Son of the Red Fox, thank you for being in the chat. Snorta Poopus, who's a member, says, they finished the Silmarillion 2 weeks ago. Having discussed Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, they may be moving on to the Wheel of Time. Okay, very cool. I'm surprised that they wouldn't decide to go into some of the other works that were edited by his son. I don't know if they had done that or not, but Hardwick says, have you seen Buster Keaton's The General yet? I think I have. Is that the one with the train? If so, I believe I have seen it. It's been a while. It's been years since I have seen them, though. Bruce says, enjoy sound films made with subtitles in mind. A foreign language film subtitle I cannot watch. It's why my anime is dubbed. Ooh, boo! Oh, man. I'm sorry, dude. I love my Japanese live action samurai films. Scott McKenzie says, Joseph Pierce Tolkien books are excellent. Is he a Catholic author? I want to say I've heard that name before, and I want to say it's within the context of Catholic commentator on the works of Tolkien. Of course, you know that would definitely appeal to me. Unknown says, nice shirt. Yeah, absolutely. Fight the Empire. Also, shout out to Drunk3PO for this shirt design. I don't know if this shirt design's available anymore. I know last, when we were at the con, he said he thought the design only had 7 days left, but I think there's going to be a new design soon. Let's see. Laura says, a Hobbit wardrobe, Great War, how J.R. Tolkien, C.S. Lewis rediscovered faith, friendship, and heroism in the Cataclysm of 1914-1918. Is that the full title of the book? Oh my goodness. Talk about long-winded titles. My lord. Oh, my Lanta. Oh, man. If it laid see, a world without religion, atheist power, fantasy, something like the Jetsons, reality, kindergarten drag show, story time led by people in very special registry. Yep. Great point. Hardwick says, in your opinion, how well does old Henry compare to Terror on the Prairie, and did you notice the plot similarities? There definitely was. I understand. Yeah, because I remember you had said that there were some plot similarities. I kind of get that, but it is also pretty different, too. So there's some similarities. There are, I think, some pretty key differences, though, that make them films that you could enjoy close together and not feel like you're watching the same movie because there are enough differences. I thought it was good. I think that the quality of Old Henry is definitely higher than that from Terror on the Prairie. I think I ended up giving... What did I get? I always forget what the scores I gave, but I think I gave Terror on the Prairie like a B, like a solid B, and then I think I gave Old Henry like a B plus. And I would stand by that in my head as far as like the difference in grading. They're very similar. They're both very solid films, and I like them both for different reasons. See, Goodwrench tagged to say, I think you said you were part of the way through season 4 of DS9. Have you seen the Hard Time episode with O'Brien, one of my faves? Yes, 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 yes. You mean the one when he spends, what, 20 years in prison in his mind? Oh my goodness, yes. When I do, we're going to do a season 3 breakdown on RTF Media, Restoring the Faith Media. We did one, me, Anthony Stein, Ryan Grant. We did season 1. We're waiting on Anthony Stein to finish season 2. He's a Catholic YouTuber. His channel is Return to Tradition. Great channel. And so we're waiting for him to finish season 2. We're going to do commentary on season 2. And what we did for season 1 was we all listed our top 3 episodes. I think that one's going to be on my top 3 episodes for season 4, man. Because that one was just, again, from just a conceptual level, having a prison within your mind where you feel every single thing, I think is amazing. But then also, too, the impact it has on him in his real life. Oh, yeah. Lots of really good stuff there. And it kind of reminded me of a Twilight Zone-esque story arc. But yeah, great episode. All right, we got some super chats. I was waiting to highlight these, so thank you again for these super chats. We got Buford T. Justice. What's going on, Buford? Thank you for the $50 super chat. Says, long live canon and lore. The Pope needs to go. Well, first off, yes, long live canon and lore. I think one could actually connect that to the second point, which is long live tradition. Because tradition is one of the many pillars that we need to stand firm in faith. And yeah, I definitely think that we look to the issues that are currently going on in our world, in our church especially, and I definitely think that we need to pray for the Holy Father for a conversion of heart, or for at least God to bring about the Spirit either within him or within a future pontiff to be able to lead the church out of this time of darkness that we are currently in. Let's see, Curezilla, thank you for that very generous super chat. Buford T. Justice, I always love saying your name. Curezilla is a member, says, exactly, Odin supporting garbage just because it isn't woke defeats the purpose. I want to see good writing, direction, production, acting, all that makes great entertainment. Yeah, because here's the thing. If it's good, saying it's not woke should not even be on the radar. It should just be it was a good movie. Like, that's why when people say, was it woke? It's like, I feel that the only standard that I should really set is, hey, it's good or it's not. Scott McKenzie then says, certainly more Catholic than Brandon. I mean, okay, Scott, let's be honest here. There's There's some cafeteria Catholics out there that are even more Catholic than Brandon. Oh, Lord. Something for the normies. Thank you for the $20 super chat. Says, "Hail Odin. Don't know if you said this already, but do you think Thor will break a billion? It was a pleasure meeting you at Gators. Have a great night." Hey, nice meeting you as well. Thank you for showing up that night. Again, the meetups were just so fun this past summer. I'm definitely happy to be having a little bit more of a quiet July in comparison. A little less travel for me. I don't think it's going to hit a billion. I really don't. My prediction on that's going to depend upon what it does opening weekend in comparison to Doctor Strange 2. If it's underneath Doctor Strange 2, there's no chance in hell it gets a billion. If it's ahead of Doctor Strange 2, whatever that week 2 drop-off is, that will be the determining factor there. So, yeah. Do I think right now it's going to hit a billion? No, I do not. But that does not mean that it is impossible. So we have to wait for the actual numbers themselves to come up. And yes, the unabridged versions are fantastic. Mark Thompson does the voice work for them, and they are beautiful. Scott McKenzie says, yes, very Catholic. I thought Joseph Pierce was. I thought that I had seen that name on some of the books that I was looking into before. Snorta Poopis says, I was hoping they'd cover Unfinished Tales and so on. I'll nag them until they relent or get kicked off the channel. Oh, we're talking about Miss Martin Uses. Yeah, absolutely. Hardwick says, a partial to the Phil Dragash Lord of the Rings audiobooks. They're fan-made. Dragash performed all the voices, scored them with Howard Shore music, and added some sound effects. Nice. Hardwick says, yes, General is the one with the train. Then I believe I have seen that. Lady Fossilot, thank you very much for the $10 super chat saying, hail and well met. I would like to recommend the Toki book version of Lord of the Rings audiobook. It's free on the app or here on YouTube. It has the sounds, music from the cartoons, movies. Enjoy. Ah, very cool. Very, very cool. He said the Toki book version. I assume that's not the same as the Phil Dragas version. So it sounds like there's a lot of different versions that people recommend. All right, we are right about at time. So let's go ahead and finish up these comments. So no more comments, please. I'm waiting for Disney to blame Putin for Lightyear flopping. You know what? The show media will blame Putin before they blame any of the identity politics. Hands down. 70B, glad to see you in the chat. Hope you are feeling better. Hope you get well very, very quickly. Praying for you. Very sorry to hear about you not feeling well. But thank you for stopping by nonetheless. So go get some rest. Go get better. Go have maybe some soup or something. Snorta Poopis, if Francis retires, he'll be called the Pope Demeritus. Oh, I'm going to a hot place for that. No, it's a joke. It's a sense of, you know, you have a sense of humor. So it's not like you're going out of your way to disparage the Holy Father in a non-charitable way. You know, that would be going to, but you did not just do that. So no, that's the thing is I don't really see him stepping down. There's a great book out there called The Dictator Pope, and it kind of goes into some of the behind the scenes of the early days of the Francis Pontificate and really just how much, even though he puts out the perception of being a lot more for collegiality and, you know, he's obviously pushing these synods, right? The synod on synodality, the synod on conversations, the conversation on conversations, the meeting on meetings. It's not very likely that he would ever willingly step down. Not to mention that would create such a weird chaos in the church already more so than it is if you had two retired popes living around. I just, Scott McKenzie said, apologies to the real Brandon. I meant it for Biden when Pelosi was mentioned. Oh no, I think anyone here knows exactly what was being referenced there. Sierra Production, what's going on, man? Been a while. Glad to have you here. Mike Jackson, I need the numbers. Yes, I do need the numbers. I saw someone put hashtag Lightyear lost money. They did. They're going to lose a lot of money. Yeah, absolutely. So if you have more content that you want to listen to, I would say check out Geeks and Gamers for Tuesday night's main event. I believe it always starts late. So I'm assuming the start time is like 10 p.m. Eastern time. Don't know exactly their start time, but around that time, Geeks and Gamers channel. But that is going to be it for me for today. So thank you all very much. This has been a fun discussion about Tolkien. I am by no means a Tolkien expert, but I could definitely say I know a little bit more about them than these knuckleheads over at the Tolkien Society. Because if you don't quite understand the fact that to say that quote, there's a religious crusade to appropriate Tolkien, you don't actually understand his own faith background. He grew up in a time and was raised in a time of faith when it was taught and when it was spread in a orthodox fashion, when the mass mirrored that teaching, mirrored that faith in a much more, I would say, a much more solemn fashion, where it truly matched the lex credendi, right? Lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of prayer is the law of faith. Law of faith is the law of prayer. And so I think it's important for us just to always remember that. And that's just for any author, right? To try to take away anything, whether it be religion, whether it be cultural background, whatever it might be, if you strip that away from an author's work, it leaves it soulless. It leaves behind a soulless husk. And that's exactly what they would try and will try and continue to try and do when it comes to Rings of Power, when it comes to the Tolkien Society and these nonsensical books and nonsensical stories and nonsensical speeches and papers that they're putting out. Anyway, so thank you all very much for being in here. This has been a ton of fun tonight. Please make sure you smash the like button, light that fire button. Aussie, shout out to Tina and Steph, my Valks. Tina, thank you for putting up with some of the technical issues early on. Steph, I hope that you get well. Be praying for you to get well very, very, very soon. And to everyone else, thank you all for being here. Thank you for the super chats, for the donations. Seriously, it really does mean a lot. And yeah, thank you all again, as always. If you want to learn out more information about how to support the channel, check out the top link in the description below. You find out ways to support the channel. Also, there's ways to get perks if you subscribe or follow me over on Patreon, Subscribestar, or Locals. More information can be found in that description link. Anyway, you guys are all amazing. Here is the July shoutouts video. I was able to finally get it done. Earliest I've gotten it done in a while. Anyway, you guys are great. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. And as always, see you tomorrow morning. And God bless. And now for a huge special shout out to my July Patreon Subscribestar and Locals members at the Keeper of the Bifrost level and above. First, starting off with Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Chris from the 80s, who you can check out over on YouTube. Garrett Searles. Hymir Ari Hymason, Jeff Toon, Joe Horn, Jonathan Carney, Laura, the Modern Major General Story, Father, Luca Illich, Orange Hat Reviews, who you can also check out over on his YouTube channel as well. Congrats on recently getting to 1,000 subscribers. Rosetta Allen, who you can also find on YouTube as well. Stan Andrian and Miss Martin Muses, who also has her own YouTube channel. Thank you all very much for supporting me over on the platform of Patreon. We also have my Subscribestar members, Matt317, Storm Tracker, The R, Fast Reaction, John B, Mr. Roy, Glinzer, J. Alice McCarthy Jr., shout out to you, good sir, and continue that awesome recovery that you are doing. Dean Heiss, J-Rod, the Beer Guru, and ZK Man, you can find out over and follow him on Twitter as well. And we also have my Locals members. We have, of course, the lovely and amazing Minnesota hockey fan. How about a hockey player? UAB Mad Dog, Mike Jackson for the win, and Robert Barnes, as well as Brett D90. Thank you very much. And my last supporter, of course, is the amazing Tina B, Empress of the Universe, one of my mods on the channel. Check out her new show with my other Valkyrie, Stephanie B, on her channel, Tina B's channel, which is called Soup to Nuts. Go check that out because it is pretty awesome and fun content. Anyway, that is going to be it for all of my Keeper of the Bifrost level members and above. If you want your name shout out at the end of every video and live stream, please make sure that you check out the top link of the video description. It is w.lo, the Willow link, as I like to call it. And you can find my Patreon, Subscribestar, etc., where you can get not only shout outs, but also access to an exclusive podcast that I do with John the Flick Pick Flickinger every single month, and also access to giveaways of Blu-rays, 4Ks, etc., all that good stuff. Check that out in the video description. You guys are all amazing and beautiful people. Hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day. And as always, God bless.